It was a night for the number nines in Naples. Lewandowski and Osimhen scoring as Barca drew at Napoli. But goal of the evening, and maybe the goal of his career, came from Porto's Galeno to defeat Arsenal at the death. We review both games and look ahead to March's round of 16 ties in the UEFA Champions League. First legs have completed now of the round of 16. European football expert Kevin Hatchard joins me, Rob Daly. And Kev, it took a little while for both games to bring us those decisive moments, but there were decisive moments tonight.
Yeah, there were, and I think they were gripping nevertheless, because what was fascinating about the Porto-Arsenal game was the way Porto approached it, ended up playing the game they wanted to play, not the one Arsenal wanted to play. And I think Napoli actually, after a first half where they didn't have a single shot, woke up in that second half and really gave Barcelona much more of a game. So I think they were both fascinating contests.
So to confirm, it finished Porto 1, Arsenal 0, Napoli 1, Barcelona 1. Same scorelines as Tuesday night, by the way, and you can get a review of the Inter Atletico and PSV Dortmund games on the previous edition of the Match Day Live podcast. But we're looking at Wednesday, and to Portugal first, where Porto were hosting Arsenal. Kevin was watching alongside Richard Kaufman.
Declan Rice plays it to the far post. Trossard on the volley. Real opportunity there. It was about 12 yards from goal, right-footed, but it skied over the crossbar. Real opportunity that for Arsenal, though. Down the right-hand side this time for Pepe Aquino. Gets to the byline, gets across, gets to the byline, pulls it back for Evan Nilsson, whose shot is blocked and out for a corner. They're knocking on the door a little here, Porto. This is the best spell maybe they've had in the game so far.
It's absolutely brilliant from Pepe Aquino, because he knows that Havertz can't stop him. So he uses his pace. He goes around him. Havertz thinks about putting the arm out to drag him back, but he's on a yellow card. He dared do that. And so he has to let Pepe Aquino go. And it's really good cover from Declan Rice.
And now Galeno has it just outside the penalty here. Shoots right-footed. Oh, what a strike. What a goal. The Champions League for Porto. Galeno has set the crowd absolutely wild. Galeno, with the goal of his career, right-footed, sweet as a strikes, outside the area, and Porto will take a lead to North London. A piece of Brazilian brilliance. It's Porto 1. Nil.
And he bends it perfectly just inside that far post. It is a gorgeous finish from Galeno, but Arsenal will be furious with themselves, because to an extent that's a self-inflicted wound.
A reminder of the standard at this level for Arsenal. First knockout tie for them in 7 years. Mikel Arteta went unchanged for it. Richard joins Kevin, myself now. You've just about calmed down, Richard, and we'll get to Galeno's outstanding winner. What a moment. But let's go chronological. First half, and he actually had the best of it, didn't he, in the first half, Galeno?
Well, he did. The chance on 22 minutes. It's a cagey affair, the whole, you know, 90 minutes yeah. plus stoppage time. Defensively, Porto excellent, as Kevin was mentioning in commentary as well, but carrying a threat too. And that threat primarily was coming from Galeno, and maybe should have scored in the first half. Close range effort, hits the post, comes back to him really quickly. And on the volley, it looks like he can't miss, but he did. He put it wide of the goal. And you wondered whether that would be the best chance of the night. It certainly seemed to be the case as we were heading into stoppage time. But I mean, it's one of those where you say it's a goal out of nothing. It's just a moment of sheer brilliance. We've seen the replay of it now a few times, and he starts that way outside, David Raya's far post, and he whips it in, and it nestles into the corner of the net, or the side of the net rather than the corner of the net. Fantastic goal, real piece of class, and just changed the whole mood inside this stadium. Brilliant goal from him individually.
If you go back to those opening exchanges, what Porto did was they'd analysed Arsenal, and if you look at Arsenal's season in general and how it's different to last season, one of the things that's really improved is their work out of possession. They don't give much away at all. The two centre-backs are excellent, we know that. But the trade-off for that is they've lost a bit of penetration through the centre. So a lot of stuff is going out wide to Martinelli and Saka. And Thomas Partey hasn't played anywhere near as big a role. They don't have that double pivot in there with Granit Xhaka. So that's the trade-off. So Porto said, fine, you have the ball, we don't care. We're confident you can't play through the middle of us. So we know if you're going to make any impact at all, you're going to have to play the ball in wide areas. Arsenal were too slow in those wide areas, because what they did was they would switch it out to Saka, switch it out to Martinelli, but it was generally a high ball or a kind of curling ball, and Porto had enough time to shuffle across and double up on both sides. Thought two fullbacks, Vendel and João Mário, were outstanding. And then they got support from Conceição on one side, and then they got that support from Galeno on the left-hand side. When you're doubling up, Saka had nowhere to go, Martinelli had nowhere to go. And what happens with that for a young, inexperienced group at this level, you start getting a bit disheartened, because you start thinking, we're not making any inroads here at all. And then you start forcing things, and you start snatching at things, and that's what's happening. You mentioned Richard in the second half, early part of the second half. Bukayo Saka got the ball and did things you would never normally see him do.
And, you know, just to add to that as well, bear in mind how easy it's been for them to create opportunities and score goals in the last two matches. They won 6-0 at West Ham, won 5-0 at Burnley, wiped away the opposition, and suddenly you're up against a team in Porto who we thought were confidence-wise a little fragile.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Mikel Arteta was driving home to the players, you know, this is a team that's got great experience at this level, etc. But sometimes when you've been playing like Arsenal have, and the chances and those goals just keep flowing, you think it's just going to carry on forever.
Well, I think as well what happened was there was a little bit of, and it's completely understandable for a group like this with this youth and inexperience at this level, a little bit of timidity came in, certainly in the first half, because if you're going to break open that block in the middle of the pitch, you've got to play passes that will break those lines. You've got to risk losing the ball to actually squeeze the ball through those gaps. They weren't doing it. There was a lot of sideways passing, backwards passing, and that just emboldens Porto. I thought defensively, Otavio, considering that he's not long been at Porto and this has not been his level, the guy's 21. There was a bit of hand-holding from Pepe alongside him. Understandable, considering he's nearly double his age. But I thought as a two, they worked very well. I thought Nico Gonzalez was an absolute monster in central midfield. Same with Varela. I thought they covered so much ground in there. It was a real team effort. It was everything that's been good about Porto under Sergio Conceição.
Yeah, but just to say from an Arsenal perspective, until that 94th minute, though, they would have been satisfied with the scoreline. You know, they had 10 corners to one or something like that. But what really surprises me, for the team that have scored, what, 22 goals in, you know, five games, not a single shot on target the whole match from Arsenal.
First time in the Champions League since 2011 that that's happened to them.
If you'd have said that to me before the game, a Porto team that have seemed vulnerable, I would never have believed that would be the case.
Well, they took away all of Arsenal's, you know, strong points. They took away the ability out wide because they doubled up. They took away Odegaard's creativity, because until Jorginho came on and freed Odegaard up to kind of roam in those half spaces a lot higher up the pitch, we didn't see him because he was having to pick up the ball really deep and then he's got so far to go.
So that change did kind of work?
Yeah, it did work because he started to get on the ball, he started to combine with Saka, and there was a spell where you thought, okay, they're actually starting to pull some Porto players out of position. The other thing they did, which was really smart, was they roughed up Arsenal a bit of set pieces. things, not in an illegal way, if you like, but Arsenal like to manhandle you a bit at set plays. They'll block you off, they'll make it difficult. And they said, OK, well, we'll just do the same thing. So you had lots of contact, lots of players going to ground, lots of pushing and shoving, and it made it a much more even contest every time the ball went into the box. And massive fan of Ødegaard, but I think he'd be honest and say the quality of set pieces at times wasn't quite good enough.
Joe Terry, one of our reporters for the game as well, regular Arsenal correspondent, said Arsenal struggled against the tactical challenge presented to them by Conte Sale's side, but they were so close to going home satisfied, as you mentioned, Richard. At home in 3 weeks' time, the Gunners will need to be back to their fluid, devastating best. How much does Champions League experience come from a Porto point of view come into nights like this, Kev? I mean, Porto in recent years have been reaching the knockout stages of the Champions League.
It's enormously important because they've done this before. They know it works. So it takes a bit of bravery to actually say to yourself, we're going to have spells where we don't have the ball. We're going to have to run, we're going to have to work, we're going to have to close off so many gaps against a really quality side. I mean, they've got players that can hurt you all over the pitch. So it takes a bit of bravery. But if you've done it time and time again in the Champions League, then that's an easier thing to do. Whereas Arsenal ended up moving away from what they normally do to an extent because, you know, they tried to have a lot of the ball, but they just got a bit disheartened, I think, by how difficult Porto were making it for them. And the goal, as Richard said, the goal comes from a rare moment where Arsenal think, oh, we've got some space, we can break. And so they reached for it. Ottavio won the ball on halfway, and then suddenly you've got three or four Arsenal players up the pitch. And then it becomes a situation where Galeno has space. Declan Rice gets a bit stuck on the edge of the area. Ben White's waving him forward, saying, come on, you close him down. He gets a bit stuck and he doesn't move out.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the two teams. I mean, they're both young teams, actually. Take Pepe out of it, who's going to be 41 later this month. But
brings the average up a bit.
Yes, he does a little bit. But I mean, Arsenal only had one player in their team that's played knockout football in the UEFA Champions League before, and that was Kai Havertz. They brought on Jorginho late in the second half. But, you know, you've got Wendell, Pepe, you know, João Mário, players that have played, obviously, for Porto as well.
Would have been a good time to have Gabriel Jesus, wouldn't it? I think of how many times for Manchester City on the road in the Champions League, he was very good.
Because what he does is he drags you out of position. And that's what they didn't quite... Trossard and Havertz in recent weeks have been really, really good at interchanging. That movement drags defenders out and it makes it really difficult. But, you know, it wasn't a night where, you know, Arsenal were really bad or anything like that. It wasn't that. No. It was just that Porto was super professional and took away all of the good points that we've seen from Arsenal in the last few weeks. It was just a real old school European job.
Before we move on, tell us about Galeno. Who is he, Richard, and why is he impressing so much in this competition?
Well, he's at his second spell in this at the club. He played under Sergio Conceição in his first spell for one season, went off to Braga for a few years, come back in his second spell. And you actually were telling me before the game that the squad were calling him Mr. Champions League because he scored four goals in the group stages, two home, two away against Shakhtar Donetsk on match days 1 and 6. And he really turned into Mr. UEFA Champions League tonight, didn't he? With, I mean, the sweetest of goals. He's only 25 years of age. You know what? I'm not sure he'll better a moment like that. You know, 4 minutes of stoppage time. We're 3 minutes and 30 into it. And he couldn't have caught that any better.
No, he couldn't, could he?
I thought what was super impressive about it, actually, was he had that big chance in the first half, not once but twice, hits the post, and then the rebound comes back and he can't quite control the ball. It comes pretty quickly at him. And then there's a long old spell in the game where he's not really that much involved. Porto on the other side were causing problems with Conte Sal, but Arsenal had done a fairly good job on him. And then it gets to that moment where the game's on the line. He hasn't really been that heavily involved in the second half. couldn't have hit it any better. That's a big game player. That's not an easy thing to do. If you've been involved and you had the ball loads, it's much easier to click into gear with that kind of moment. He was quite cold and he's just curled a beautiful shot past Raya.
Galeno scored the first ever 90th minute winning goal conceded by Arsenal in a Champions League game and Porto's latest winner on record from 03-04, 20 years on to now in this competition. Let's hear from the Arsenal first team manager, Mikel Arteta, who was asked what his team lacked tonight.
More aggression, especially when we had the ball in the final third, especially in the back as well, more purpose to hurt them. So we would trick a few things to attack better, especially because to be fair, we haven't conceded at all, but we can do better. No, it's a team that is very well organized defensively, and there are certain things that we will have to do much better. We'll play at home. We know now, we know them, and we know what to expect.
Mikel Arteta there, return leg Tuesday the 12th of March. And of course, we'll have coverage of it for you live on Match Day Live. Still to come, we'll look back on Wednesday's other huge tie in the UEFA Champions League.
Take UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
To Italy next, where Napoli welcomed Barcelona, fittingly, to the Stadio Diego Armando Maradona. Jonathan Beck was watching.
Martinez up from the back. Pedri, Lewandowski, Lewandowski! Edge of the area, back of the net, Robert Lewandowski, his first chance of the game, and he buries it. We played an hour in Naples, and Barcelona have the lead through their big number nine. It is Napoli nil, Barcelona one. Lindstrom down the left-hand side. Oliveira's ahead of him. Onguissa's behind it with Andre Frank Zambo. Onguissa, turn from Osimhen! Goal by Victor Osimhen on the penalty spot. Finally, some space for Napoli's number nine. He only needs one chance and he's taken it. 15 to go. They are level with their first effort on target. Back in the side and on the score sheet. It is Victor Osimhen. It is Napoli 1, Barcelona 1.
Yeah, it was the strikers doing the business in this one, and Jonathan joins us. Now, John, I think we can largely bypass the first half. Although perhaps the fact that Barcelona were on top was an indicator that they were likely to score first.
Yeah, they pretty much had it for 35 minutes or so. Napoli improved, and that would have given them a little bit of confidence at half-time. First half-time team talk for Francesco Calzona, the Slovakia coach who is now also in charge of Napoli until the end of the season. And they really did start the second half with purpose. That didn't stop Barcelona scoring on the hour, though. Lewandowski found space on the edge of the box for the first time, knocked it to his right, swept it back to the left through the legs of Di Lorenzo and just past Mere's glove into the corner. And then it seemed like they would control the game till the end. But Napoli felt like they were made of sterner stuff. 75 on the clock when they found Osimhen on the edge of the box and he wrong-footed the goalkeeper. Real strength to turn away from Inigo Martinez and slot the ball in. He's back. He didn't feel himself last week, didn't play against Genoa, but he was unable to play 75 minutes tonight. He was taken off straight after the goal. They were preparing to take him off before the goal, so had the ball gone out of play, they would have seen him off Barcelona, and maybe that would have been that. But he had his moments, and it's all to play for in Barcelona for the second leg.
Two great finishes, Kev.
Yeah, they were, and these are why these are big game players, because Lewandowski, you know, you look at the weekend, he was the one who put away a twice-taken penalty to win that game against Celta Vigo in northern Spain. The way he took this goal was outstanding. The way he whipped it, bit of disguise, whipped it into that near corner, made a very difficult thing look easy. And time again, we see him deliver. It was his goals that were a big part of what Barcelona did to win La Liga last season. And now Osimhen, you know, Inigo Martinez, I suspect, ironically, was brought in ahead of Pau because of his strength. And it must have been like trying to, you know, trying to lever a brick.
He was almost trying to grab him because he goes to ground and you see him kind of claw a hand like he can't believe he's got away from
it. So strong. Yeah. And Osimhen is able to stand up and have the wherewithal to sweep it beyond Ter Stegen and in. And I think even Ter Stegen was kind of gobsmacked that Osimhen had just been able to bounce Martinez out of the way because he wasn't really set.
No.
And it was a super finish. And I think, you know, obviously Barcelona will now be favourites for the second leg because they have home advantage. I think given the circumstances that Francesco Calzona has only just taken over, I think considering the first half they had, it's a decent result.
It was Osimhen's first appearance for Napoli since the 23rd of December when he was sent off in a 2-0 loss to Roma. Has been away at the Africa Cup of Nations, but just back tonight and scoring. Let's hear from Barca's German midfielder İlkay Gündoğan. He's been talking about the battle between the two goal-scoring number nines this evening.
I think both are great strikers. Both know where the goal is, how to score. Good finish. Robert, I think, fits into our game, you know, with that possession game. He's able to control it, you know, under difficult circumstances. Osimhen is maybe a little bit more the player, you know, being aggressive, running in behind, you know. Even though maybe they are slightly different abilities, both are players that are world-class, you know.
İlkay Gündoğan there, Lewandowski UEFA player of the match, but it's worth noting that Osimhen now, he's certainly a Champions League player, isn't he? He's now scored in all four of his knockout stage appearances, netting a total of 5 goals in that run. For Lewandowski, by the way, I mean, he might have had the ambition to catch Messi or Ronaldo, it won't happen, but that is a 93rd Champions League goal for him. In terms of the new head coach, Jonathan, you mentioned him there. How did he set up Napoli in his first game in charge? Because he is their third head coach of the season.
Yeah, and Aurelio De Laurentiis, the chairman, has already come out and said, look, I got it wrong with Rudy Garcia. I knew when he was unveiled, I probably should have sacked him straight away, which is quite the thing to say. He brought back Walter Mazzarri, a known quantity. That didn't work. 17 games, only 6 wins. So Calzona didn't change too much in terms of style. He certainly changed personnel. He brought in Osimhen, who was fit again. He brought in Oliveira at the back, who hadn't started this year. Jesus was back from suspension. Kajust into midfield was good. I'll tell you what did work in terms of shifting the momentum after Barcelona scored. It was the introduction off the bench of Jesper Lindstrom in particular. Mm. He hasn't played too much. He's not been given many chances, the Dane, but he had a really, really good final 15, 20 minutes or so, and that really did help the momentum for Napoli. But in terms of how they changed, they just feel a little bit more confident. I don't think Mazzarri worked for a lot of the players, and I think Calzona is a little calmer, a little more precise. He's not had much time to get his message across, and he's had to do things very, very quickly, but he seems to have injected a bit of confidence there.
Jonathan, thank you. A reminder, the second leg, Tuesday the 12th of March, we'll get Jonathan's player of the match, a moment of the match, shortly. But we know now how the first legs have finished in the round of 16. There have been 14 goals so far. We have a short one-week break without Champions League football. Then it's back on Tuesday, the 5th of March, and we'll find out our first two quarter-finalists. Will Hobbs looks ahead.
The competition will return in style in 13 days' time, and Bayern have it all to do in Munich.
It's Immobile against Neuer. He steps forward, right-footed. Neuer goes the wrong way, and Ciro Immobile literally slides the ball into the bottom corner of the net.
That goal means Lazio take a 1-0 lead to Germany for the second leg of their tie against the 6-time winners. Harry Kane says it's far from over.
Yeah, we just need to turn it around, you know. One game or one spark can change a lot in football, and we need to try and find that. So we'll push together, you know, we'll push each other in training and in the game on the weekend and try and find it.
Kick-off in Munich is at 9 o'clock CET on Tuesday the 5th of March. At the same time, Paris will be aiming to finish the job in San Sebastian.
Barcola through! Oh! That is brilliant! Bradley Barcola with a beauty of a goal for Paris Saint-Germain to double their advantage against Real Sociedad. That was magical. That was majestic.
The French champions take a 2-goal lead to Real Sociedad. La Real need to recapture capture their excellent home form from the group stage to turn the tie around.
And they do have a third goal now, and it's taken all of 21 minutes. This is extraordinary from Real Sociedad.
Manchester City were very impressive against Copenhagen and lead 3-1 in their tie.
It's scintillating football from Manchester City, and Foden, who teed up De Bruyne for the first, well, the roles are reversed for the goal at the end of the game.
Whilst Madrid were indebted to that exceptional strike from Brahim Diaz against Leipzig last week.
Great run, Brahim Diaz! And a curling effort finds the corner! It's a sensational goal to give Real Madrid the lead on the night and in the tie. Brahim Diaz with a sparkling run and finish. And in the absence of Jude Bellingham, he's stepping up the mark for Real Madrid.
Four great matches and four quarter-final places for the winners. Matchday Live is on air from 8 o'clock CET on Tuesday the 5th and Wednesday the 6th of March. Drama guaranteed.
Will Hobbs reporting there on the second legs in the Champions League. So Tuesday, 5th of March, the first week back, we got Bayern 0, Lazio 1, Sociedad 0, Paris Saint-Germain 2 on aggregate. Then on the Wednesday, Real Madrid 1, Leipzig 0, Manchester City 3, Copenhagen 1. Quickfire Kev, we normally do a little preview, but we've got a couple of weeks until those games, Kev. It's too early to do a proper preview, isn't it? So I want you to tell me who's going through.
Okay.
I want a full list, every quarter-final tie, who's going through, and maybe a little thought why.
Bayern are going through against Lazio because I think they have too much firepower. Their home form is too good, in the Champions League especially. So I think Bayern go through.
Yeah.
I think Real Sociedad give Paris a real scare at Anoeta, probably get the first goal. But I think the quality that Paris have on the counter-attack will be critical, so Paris will go through. I think RB Leipzig, unfortunately for them, probably missed their chance. They had lots of opportunities in the first
they did,
leg.
Didn't, they, yeah.
Didn't make best use of them. Lunin was great. I think Real Madrid will have a bit too much for them, and they'll go through. Manchester City against Copenhagen. Copenhagen have done amazingly well to get this far. I can't see them turning
3-1 at the at Manchester.
Yeah, so yeah. I think Manchester City go through in that one.
Okay, so that's half of them. So you've got Bayern, Paris Saint-Germain, Real Madrid, Manchester City.
Yes,
then
so
the other ones, please.
Let's do the other ones. Yeah, okay, yeah. Dortmund against PSV.
Oh.
Nervy. Really super nervy, but I think Dortmund go through.
Okay.
Because I think Dortmund, if you look at that support they get at home, I think they'll just have a bit too much firepower for PSV, and I think Peter Bosz will play in the way that he normally does and give them chances. Arsenal, it is going to be really nervy again, really tough work, but I think they will go through against Porto. I think they'll just manage to play a bit. They'll learn from this first leg. Well, they'll play a bit quicker,
they lost
a bit bolder.
In 2010, didn't they, at Porto 2-1 and then won 5-0 the second leg.
Yeah, I think they'll be a bit quicker, a bit bolder, find the gaps. Inter, I think, will complete the job against Atletico. It's going to be a hell of an atmosphere. Atletico are going to make it super tough for them. But I can't tell you how impressed I've been by this Inter team. They've got real steel, brilliant coach, lots of firepower and attack. They're going to have too much, I think, for Atletico.
One more.
And who have we got left now? We've got Barcelona against Napoli. That's going to be super tight as well. I think Napoli score, but I think Barcelona go through. I think Barcelona at home, even though it's not their usual home, I just think they looked a bit more cohesive than Napoli did in that first leg, and I think they'll bring that to bear.
Okay, remember, listeners, Bayern, Paris, Madrid, City, Dortmund, Arsenal, Inter, Barca. We'll check in on the final show of the second legs to see how right Kev got this. A reminder of how things finished on Wednesday night, by the way. Porto 1, Arsenal 0, Napoli 1, Barcelona 1. Let's go back to the game at the Dragao and get the thoughts of Arsenal midfielder Declan Rice, who is upbeat ahead of the second leg despite tonight's defeat.
This is the most positive, you know, I've seen a group after a defeat. You know, we take real positivity from the game and look, heads up. We know there's no need to dwell. We've got a big game Saturday. And then Emirates will fight and give it everything. Champions League's not easy. You know, no games are given. You have to work for it. And, you know, tonight they scored at the end. And, you know, so it's time for us to, you know, watch the game back and see where we can improve and come again. I think you're going to see an Arsenal team that's going to give everything, fight for their life to get into the quarterfinal. You know, we're a young team. We're hungry. And we want to win. You know, so I think you're going to see a team that really wants to play on the front foot and win the game.
If you're an Arsenal fan, I bet you love hearing that from Declan Rice, that it hasn't hit the team too hard. Won a European trophy last season with West Ham, knows how two-leg ties work, and optimistic they can turn it around. Richard Kaufman was watching this game. Richard, this is the moment of the match section.
What could it be? I mean, I just want one word for one player that we haven't mentioned that much, but I thought it was excellent, Pepe. You know, the old man.
Nearly 41.
I mean, he will be 41 by the time that second leg comes around. I don't know how he does it, but, man, he was good again tonight.
Less than the old man. We're older than him.
I know. In footballing terms, less than commentary terms.
You're not marking Bukayo Saka, are you, Kev?
Not anytime soon, no. Absolutely not.
And, Jonathan, look, you had two great goals, but what was your moment of the match in Naples?
I think it was the return of Osimhen. I think they've missed him so much. He just gives them so many different options, and he showed such great strength. When they really hadn't given him a sniff, he'd been frustrated in the first half, casting dispersions everywhere, annoyed about the close defending, the way he shrugged off Martinez and put that away. I think that will give Napoli hope, and that was my moment of the match, the return of Osimhen.
Mine's slightly more obscure, but it does sum up what Porto did. Alan Varela made a lung-busting run back into the penalty area to stop Martinelli getting a shot on goal. It was brilliant defensive work.
Kev, Richard, Jonathan, great work. Thank you as always. That's just about all we have time for this evening. A reminder, we'll be back on Tuesday, the 5th of March, from 8 p.m. CET for the start of the round of 16 second legs with full match commentary of Bayern Lazio, Lazio ahead, of course, as well as live updates from Real Sociedad versus Paris Saint-Germain. Then on Wednesday, the 6th of March, RB Leipzig travel to Real Madrid, and the defending champions of this competition, Manchester City, host Copenhagen. Plus, don't forget, you can download our official podcast shortly after every single match night via your favourite podcast provider. But from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.